This podcast is brought to you by XNWX Satellite Weather.
Welcome to AvWeb's coverage of EAA Air Venture 2008. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting directly from Whitman Field at Oshkosh. I'm speaking with Mike Kraft, Chief Engineer at Lycoming, and we're continuing our conversation on Lycoming's new technical introductions here at EAA Air Venture. Mike, we're looking at the new IO233 LSA engine, and this is a new development for Lycoming to compete in the LSA arena. It's based on the 235, but the engine I'm looking at is not a familiar 235. What are the technical highlights?
This is a great project for us, and I'll just run through those quickly. The project actually started with some of our engineering staff who were building their own kit airplanes and took a look at what they wanted to put a Lycoming in, and they didn't see that our O235 fit. So literally last year at Oshkosh, we had done a good amount of due diligence on what experimental components were available, what was very near ready being to become a certified product or be included in the ASTM conformity. So what we did is we started with the O235 power section. Okay, so what you will see familiar here if you look close is that the cylinder jugs, you can't see the crankshaft on the inside of it, but that basic power section, which currently carries a 2400-hour TBO, is what we started with. And then we took a look at and we said, okay, what is really needed on this engine for the majority of LSA applications today, which are coming out with glass cockpit? So then we just said, okay, let's strip off everything that's not needed that was carried in the old O235, and let's take a look at what really is needed for the LSA application. So what you'll see here is kind of starting from the bottom up is that there is no more carburetor. We went to a throttle body fuel injector. And that was largely because you get rid of the float, you get rid of the complexity of the carburetor. It's just a simple fuel control system.
That's a mechanical.
It's mechanical. It's a mechanical throttle body injector. We talked a little bit before on the IE2 program. Very hard to justify a full up FADEC on this kind of engine. You know, it just the technology, the cost of that kind of technology has to come far down before it makes sense for this. But it is a mechanical throttle body fuel injector. Very simple. We've been working with the experimental designer of that to put in a few optimizations for this type of engine. Working your way up there is that we modified the induction system. You'll see that the pipes versus the old O235 are thinner. That's what we've done is we've done some computational fluid dynamics work there to make certain that we've optimized the flow and the velocities in there to get the best mixing into the cylinder heads. This engine is rated the same as the old 235.
100 horsepower.
It's 100 horsepower at 2400 RPM and 116 at 2700 RPM. So we haven't cut the horsepower on it at all. Just working up again, we've got electronic spark ignition. Okay, and the way that we've done there is that we've taken an experimental system and we've done some adaptations there. It has onboard power generation for the spark ignition system there, redundant spark ignition. You know, and pretty much the same thing beyond that. So it's a high voltage spark ignition system, should provide better ease of starting, gives us the ability to map spark timing on that at a rudimentary level.
And that's a fixed map, not a closed loop.
It's not a closed loop system. It'll be a fixed map system on that stuff. So it gives you some good advantages in a, once again, our own airplane builders needed to be able to afford the engine for what they were doing. So we took a reasonable compromise of what they were looking for. To get the reliability and the functionality, some functionality improvements. The biggest thing that we did here is we took out a lot of weight.
Okay. Yes, I noticed on the flywheel, you've opened up the flywheel quite a bit.
Yeah, and basically, you know, the O235's engine started as you can even see it in the crankcase, started as a larger engine, and they put a smaller bore diameter jugs on it. So the rest of the engine never really was optimized for the smaller bore on that. And what we've done here is that from the sump design to the crankcase design, which you can't see a lot of the internals, we're taking out a lot of weight on features. You know, the old 235 had provisions for prop governor. You don't have that because in this we're dealing with fixed pitch prop. So just a lot of modifications.
Will this be lighter than a conventional 235?
Oh yeah, it's 40 pounds lighter.
40 pounds lighter.
At least 40 pounds. It is still going to be, you know, we're talking about a 235 cubic inch displacement, and we decided to do that for a number of reasons. Is that the other thing that our pilots wanted to do was, getting back to the fuel situation, is that they wanted to make certain that we had an engine that could generate the power on lower octane fuels. So we kept the displacement the same. The compression ratio was beneficial to be able to allow us to rate this engine without a degradation in power. Okay, on lower octane fuel.
Speaking of fuel, this will be a multi-fuel engine, and when we say that, we mean from a high octane MoGas all the way up to 100 low lead?
Yes.
And other features on the engine, Mike?
Well, we've taken the time to incorporate hydraulic lifters and roller tappets onto the engine, which for, you know, longevity purposes and just eliminating the need to go in and adjust your rocker clearance eliminates that need. The other thing that we did was a nice to have, for the maintainability porch, you take a look at the oil filters. When you undo it, the oil will drip down instead of on the back of the engine. The other thing that allows us to do is it gives a more compact package, so we've taken out some length, which should also be beneficial to the airframe manufacturers onto it.
You mentioned earlier you have a certification choice to make. Mm-hmm. You may do a dual certification under ASTM or Part 33, or will you go just ASTM, or you don't know yet?
Well, we're obviously gathering feedback from the aircraft manufacturers as to what their preference would be, and to a large extent, the answer is coming back is that, well, ideally we'd like to have it certified. What we're trying to do is figure out right now is what is the most appropriate path to bring it to market. Obviously, faster for us would be the ASTM conformed, a little longer time for it would be type certified. For Lycoming, the testing that we do is going to be the same. You know, it's not really a difference in our mind, but it's a difference in terms of what we follow through on the whether we do the official type certification or whether we do ASTM conformity.
Either way, what kind of timeline do you think for this engine?
We're working actively with the OEMs right now on integration. Obviously, the engine is actually in a high readiness in terms of packaging onto it, and we hope to be actively doing integration and flight testing work with OEMs later this year.
Okay, thanks for speaking with us, Mike.
Okay.
You've been listening to AvWeb's continuing coverage of EAA AirVenture 2008. We've been speaking with Mike Kraft, Chief Engineer at Lycoming. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting. Thanks for listening.
XMWX satellite weather has quickly become the leading way to fly for pilots across the country. And now with updates to the Aviator Data Package and Aviator Pro, the brand new weather data package from XMWX, pilots have an even better reason to fly with the Data Link weather leader in flight and every flight.